You know, I was mostly teasing about the pie. I can share. As long as I get one piece. And I think my wife said she would save me one, so, you know, we're good to go. So have all the pie that you want. We are continuing in our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. We've been walking through Matthew chapter 5. We're now really at the very end of Matthew chapter 5. We're going to take a break after this Sunday as we enter into the Advent season, and we're going to have an Advent and Christmas series. And then after the new year, we'll pick back up in Matthew 6 as we continue through the Sermon on the Mount. But as we've journeyed through the Sermon on the Mount, one of the things that we have talked about is how it helps us not only be better followers of Jesus, but yes, how it can help us to be good neighbors. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rains on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this season of Thanksgiving. And we recognize that really it should not be a season, but that we should daily be people who are thankful for the fleas, really thankful for all that you provide us with. And we recognize that at times Thanksgiving comes with trust. And so we pray that you would increase our trust in you. Help us to recognize the way that you are moving and working in the world around us and in our lives. Help us to love you, and in doing so, be better neighbors. We thank you, and we praise you, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So far in the Sermon on the Mount, we have looked at the Beatitudes, this idea of being salt and light, and now we're walking through these ways in which our righteousness can exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, or the religious elite of Jesus' day. And again, we've talked about how these are ways in which we can follow after Jesus, but also ways in which we can be better neighbors or engage the world around us. And really, every step of the way, we have acknowledged that these have been counterintuitive, countercultural, upside-down type of ideas, kind of shocking. It goes against the flow. And today is really no exception to that. But when I initially looked at this passage, and as I was preparing for this Sunday, it says that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And one of the things that stood out to me is I started thinking, well, who are my enemies? You know, I have maybe some people that are not my favorite people, that I know that in this world as a Christian, sometimes I'm maybe not people's favorite person. But in terms of enemies, I don't think I can name a single person. And maybe I'm lucky, but I think that's kind of where a lot of us are. I mean, we don't have this great multitude of enemies in our lives. or people that, you know, come to mind. You know, we can think of maybe, well, you know, so-and-so made me mad last week, or, you know, so-and-so did this or did that, or, you know, I really don't like the way that this person does these things. But in terms of enemies, it's a pretty strong word for us. And so it's helpful maybe to have an understanding of the way that the Israelite people viewed enemies. And we get a clue in what Jesus says. He says, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." The idea of loving your enemy, the idea of loving your neighbor, that's a scriptural idea. It's not a new idea. It's found all throughout the New Testament. The Jewish people, really since the very beginning, are commanded to love their neighbors. But then that portion, and hate your enemy, you'll find that nowhere in Scripture. That is something that became part of Jewish culture and part of teaching. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that the Jewish people allowed the idea of them being God's chosen people kind of to go to their heads. And so they would view that their neighbors as only being those who were Jewish. And further, you know, supported by this idea that there were times in the history of the nation of Israel where God led them into conquering and killing other nations. And so this false belief that somehow God didn't like those other peoples. But that's not true. It was culturally true, really, for the Jewish people to view anyone who wasn't like them as being their enemy. And so if we read this kind of in that light, it's, you shall love those who are like you and hate those who are not. But I tell you to love the people who are not like you and to pray for those who come against you. And so what really Jesus is asking here is he's saying, when we talk about Jesus and the idea of neighbors and enemies, and Jesus' explanation of who your neighbor was, he talked, you know, the story of the Good Samaritan. Really, our neighbors are our enemies. Really, our neighbors are everyone around us, the people that we come into contact with. And that there are different levels of proximity, but Jesus is calling us to love everyone. Really, to love without limits, that we like to place limits on it. The Jewish people placed limits on their love, that they only loved other people who were Jewish. And we like to think that maybe we don't have limits on our love, but I would argue that maybe at times we do. Or certainly that there are people that we demonstrate our love to better than others. But Jesus encourages us to love like he loves. He encourages us to love even our enemies. And he gives two reasons for doing that. The first is that you may be or look like the sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. That again, it's this reminder that we're supposed to be a reflection of God to the world around us, that we're created in his image, that people can see who God is and his character through how we behave and act, that we're that if we want people to get an accurate representation of what God looks like, then we act like God, and we love people. And the second reason is that it distinguishes us from the world. So if you remember all the way back to when Denny talked about salt and light, and he introduced us or talked about this idea of that Christians are supposed to be weird, that we're supposed to look weird. we're not supposed to look like the world. We're supposed to look different. The way in which we engage the world, you know, we look different, we act different because we are different. We're supposed to stand apart. And so we have this idea of loving without limits. And so, as I was thinking about, you know, I don't have enemies, so to speak, not people by name, but are there people that I could do a better job of loving? Is there more that I could give? And when people encounter me, and they encounter me, the way in which I am loving, is my love, can it be explained in natural terms? Or does the way that I love look weird? Does it look different? Does it set me apart from the world around me? So as we're called to love, does the way that we love look different than the life of an unbeliever? Can people tell that you're a Christian from the outside? Can people look at your life and say, yes, that person is following after Jesus because they look a little bit like Jesus, because they act a little bit like Jesus, or maybe even a lot? And so this idea of loving our neighbors is a challenging one. Loving our enemies, loving people who are not like us. And yet there's different levels of love. And Jesus even touches on this. He says, you know, does the sun not rise on evil and good? So there's certain elements of God's benevolences that touches everyone. But then there are certain aspects of God's love that it is extended specifically to his children, to those who he has adopted as sons and daughters, like primarily salvation. And so there, to a degree, there's different degrees in which we love. I love my wife differently than I love my children. I love my wife and my children differently than I'm going to love my neighbors. There are people that I enjoy spending time with and people that I really don't. And that's okay. It is okay to have people that rub you the wrong way, or people that you don't like, or maybe even people that you don't enjoy spending time with. But it's not an excuse not to love them, or to engage in a loving relationship with them. The type of love that Jesus is talking about here is agape love, which is a diligent, intelligent, determined love. It's the type of work that requires putting in work, that it takes effort. You know, maybe I don't always do a good job of demonstrating my love to my wife, but it doesn't take that much effort for me to love her. I just do. That's why I married her. But sometimes it takes a little bit more effort to love the people that are around me. We have to work at it. And so that's what Jesus is calling us to do, is he's calling us to work at loving them. And so you might be like me, you might be sitting here today and thinking that I don't have enemies. And we live in a country that I think we're really blessed, that we have this general sense of safety and, you know, at times maybe we feel persecuted as Christians, but it's words. You know, we don't have people who, in general, you know, are being attacked and killed because of their faith. And so this idea of enemies is a little bit distant for us. But we also live in this world where we are frequently disconnected from people. So a lot of times when I'm engaging with people and I'm doing couples counseling or marriage counseling, a phrase that I will hear at times is, it feels like we are just roommates. And we want to get beyond this idea of just living with each other and back to this level of intimacy. And I think that's kind of how we engage in the world around us. It's like we're just roommates with people. We're sharing this space, and we kind of get along, and we're courteous at times, and we are seeking to, you know, clean up after ourselves, or whatever it might be. But the type of love that Jesus is calling us to is beyond simply just living comfortably next to people. Really, it's that invitation to begin living uncomfortably. To put in the work. To be weird. That we live in a culture where it is weird to talk to strangers. Where it is weird to engage people, where it is weird to do something nice just to do something nice. That people think that there is something attached, or there's strings attached, or they think maybe, well, this person, oh, I know that they're a Christian, so they're raking my leaves because they're waiting for that opportunity to tell me about Jesus. Maybe you're just raking their leaves because you want to love them. Maybe you're saying hi because you want to love them. You know, this is hard work. We get stuck in our ways. You know, we've been acknowledging from the beginning that these ideas of Jesus aren't normal, that they're hard. And we think of them sometimes as these abstract ideas of, oh yeah, you know, that's nice for Christians to do those things. Maybe I should do some of those things. Salvation is easy. It's a free gift. It's given to you. But picking up your cross and following after Jesus is challenging. It's hard. And so, yeah, we have our, if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you have salvation. You're good to go. And in our culture, in our world, it's very much, we have this idea, well, if I'm good to go, then I'm good to go. You know, it's about me. If I'm in good shape, then everything is right with the world. And Jesus says, no. Go out there and begin inviting other people too. And he says, this is how you do it. You show them me. You love them. You reflect me to the world around you. And it's tiring and it's hard. But we remember that the hard work's already been done. Jesus did that. He's doing that. That Jesus doesn't call us to change people's hearts. He doesn't expect us to change people's hearts. He calls us to love them so that they can begin to see him, and then he can change their hearts. He's the one that does the miraculous. He's the one that changes the hardened hearts. He's the one that steps in and changes the Sauls to Pauls. And so, yeah, we might have neighbors that are really hard to love. Pray for them. Pray for them. Continue to wave and say hello. You know, my kids, at times, one of the, I don't know where kids pick it up, but it seems like every kid at some point in their life says, "I hate you, Mom and Dad." And I remember the first time that was one of my kids said that to me. It hurts. It really does. Now they've said it enough that I'm kind of numb to it. You're ruining my life. But one of the ways in which I have responded, or I've begun to respond, is I say, "I love you too." My kids say, you know, "I hate you, Dad. And, you know, I love you too." And I don't mean that to be antagonistic. There are things that I say to my kids that are meant to be antagonistic, but that's not one of them. I love you too. And we have, you know, and so we have neighbors. Maybe they're grumpy. Maybe they do things to make us mad. Maybe they do things that hurt us. I love you too. I love you too. How can I demonstrate that? How can I do that? How can I go out of my way to show my love for you? This can be simple or extravagant ways. Simple, lifelong, day by day ways of loving the people around us. So that you might begin to look like your Heavenly Father, that you're set apart from the world, that you work hard to love people, that they too might begin to look like the Father as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. Help us to get out of our own little worlds, to step out of our comfort zones, and to be uncomfortable. Help us to love as you love. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.